following message is from New Life Gillette series, Behind Enemy Lines. This week, Pastor Paul presents part one of this series.
What a powerful way to start 2022. Amen. What a great morning so far. Hopefully that you're all awake and rested after your busy holiday season. Some of you still might be recuperating, but here we are celebrating what God is going to do in our lives. You know, as we jump into this new year that's in front of us, I'm excited because we're jumping into a new sermon series. It was supposed to be something different because Pastor Mike was supposed to be in Israel. We were supposed to do a sermon series with some things that he was doing there to bring back here. But that's for later on when he gets to go back over. But for today, we're jumping into a new sermon series, and I'm excited about it because it's a book of the Bible that is near and dear to my family's heart because we actually named a child after this book of the Bible. His name is Daniel. And Daniel's one of those sermons or one of these stories in the Bible that even if you've never dug into the Bible very much and especially into the book of Daniel very much, you still probably know something. Even people that don't know anything about the Bible might know a story because it's a children's story. And it's one that many of us have grown up on, and we might know a little bit about it just because of it being a children's story, like some of the other great children's stories. And time for a test. Jonah and the whale. Some of you know that one. Okay, another children's story. Noah and the ark or the flood. Yeah. And then another one. Maybe, do you know this one? Daniel and the... See, you know that story. Well, we're not talking about the lion's den today. Sorry if that's what you came for. Come back in a couple weeks because we will get to that story eventually. But the cool thing about the book of Daniel is that there are so many other amazing stories like the one we'll look at today and other teachings that just is going to bless you. If you keep coming back every week during the month of January, you're going to be overwhelmed with how seeing Daniel live a faithful life in tough situations, how it can teach us how we can do that as well. Now, to get us a better understanding of the book of Daniel, I think we need to understand in the big picture of the Bible, where does this fit? From Genesis to Revelation, where is it in the midst of that journey? So let's look at a timeline and get an understanding. First, back in the book of Genesis, we find God connecting with what we call the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. The son of Jacob takes the people and they end up down in Egypt. And they're down in Egypt for about 400 years as the people of God, and they grow in numbers. And eventually they, as some of you know the story, they end up in slavery until God raises up Moses. And Moses is given by God the Ten Commandments and the other laws to help the people learn how they live. And they took them out of Egypt. And Moses was on a journey with them for a while, but then as Moses dies, another leader, Joshua, steps in, and Joshua leads the people into what we know as the Promised Land. And they set up shop there in the land of Canaan, and God is their God. They are the people, and they're trying to walk with him. And eventually, they decide they want a king. And so all of a sudden, their kings start leading the people of Israel. Saul was the first, and then David and Solomon. And life seems to be going good for the people there in Israel, but with a king and with power and with greed, all of a sudden, something else starts messing with the kingdom of Israel, and all of a sudden, they have a civil war. And we end up with a northern kingdom of Israel and a southern kingdom of Israel. And they are against each other for a long period of time with different kings leading the different kingdoms. And during that time period, as the northern kingdom gets farther and farther away from following God, all of a sudden, Assyria, the great nation of Assyria, comes in and conquers the northern kingdom and takes some of them away, and it's not a good time for the northern kingdom. But then that leads us to our story of Daniel. So we find ourselves, after many, many years from when it first started, we find ourselves with Daniel, and if we want to figure out where does Jesus fit into this, well, we would have to extend out here another 500 to 600 years beyond Daniel is when Jesus finally shows up. So we find ourselves then on this journey of getting ourselves to Daniel. There's been a lot happening in the people of God with what God has going on with these people. And then we find ourselves in Daniel chapter 1, verse 1, where we start our story for today. During the third year of King Jehoiakim, he was reigning in Judah, so that's the southern kingdom. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, the different nation, came to Jerusalem and besieged it, kicked their butts. They conquered, Babylon came in and conquered the kingdom of Judah. Now you might be thinking, wait a second, isn't this God's people? I already heard you say that Assyria conquered the northern kingdom and now they're coming in and they're conquering God's people in the southern kingdom. Isn't this God's people? Isn't this where the temple of God is? And yeah. So how does this play out? Why does this play out? Well, let's see. Verse 2, the Lord gave Nebuchadnezzar victory. Wait, the Lord, God, gave Nebuchadnezzar victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects from the temple of God. So Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylonia and placed them in the treasure house of his God. How'd that happen? Why did God let this happen? God is sovereign. Could God have kept this from happening? Well, absolutely. God is almighty. He can do whatever he desires to do. God would have loved to keep the people there in the promised land, would have loved to have them walk with him on a faith-filled journey. But, there's always a but, isn't there? The people chose to not walk with God. Oh, there were a few of them here and there who were faithful and loved walking with God. But overall, the kings and a lot of the people kept walking away from God. And because of that, God permitted Nebuchadnezzar to come in and do what he did. Now, you might say, was this a surprise to the people? Well, it shouldn't have been. Because God warned them over and over and over again of what he told them back in the law that he gave to Moses. For instance, it's in Deuteronomy chapter 28 where we see this. God says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all of his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world and you will experience these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. And then God goes on to list a huge list of all these different kinds of blessings, how God is just going to overwhelm them with an abundant life if they're willing to follow God. But what if you don't? Well, God also thought of that. So verse 15, but if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all of these curses or bad things will come and overwhelm you. Then God goes on to list a long list of all these bad things that are going to happen to these people if they're not willing to simply walk in faith of God. And jumping down to verse 25, we see how it affects our story for today. The Lord will cause you to be defeated by your enemies like Nebuchadnezzar. And then down to verse 36. Go ahead, John. The Lord will exile you and your king to a nation unknown to you and your ancestors. There in exile, you will worship gods of wood and stone. Hello, New Life. That's not supposed to be up there. I'll go back to my notes until they get that up and running. It's coming. How much do you appreciate our tech people today? Aren't they amazing? They just make, usually this works, but Satan, get behind us. We're going to keep going. You will become an object of horror, ridicule, and mockery among the nations to which the Lord sends you. So God warned them, this is what's going to happen to you. And because the people kept walking away from him, eventually he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come in and conquer them and take them into exile. So what is exile? Exile, well, picture, if you would, Canada deciding that they were going to come down and fight us here in Wyoming. They would be fools. But if Canada decided to come down and attack Wyoming and conquer us, then they would take us in exile. That means they're going to take a group of us back to New Brunswick and make us live there instead. And that's what the people of Israel and Judah, that's what they had to do. God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to not only conquer them, but they took them behind enemy lines. They were forced to go and to live in a different culture with different ways of doing things, different language, different beliefs, different ways of worshiping. And yes, they were also going to be out of the area where the temple was. And so the people would have felt that they were out of the presence of God. They were going to feel out of sorts, like they were out of place. And I think all of us have had those moments in our days, haven't we? Whether it was back in school, whether it was going someplace that we weren't used to, where we have felt out of place. For instance, some of you have lived in Wyoming all your life, and there's actually a couple of you here in this town that I've heard that has never even seen an ocean before. So if that's you, can you imagine if you were forced to go into this boat with the sharks swimming around you? How out of place would you feel? Right behind enemy lines, right? And that's how they would have felt there. Or what about if you've heard the line before, a woman in a man's world, how we feel out of sorts when we're like that, or a man in a woman's world? We find these moments in our days, wherever we find ourselves, where we feel out of place because we're in a setting where people are just acting different, looking different, talking different, and we wonder, how now do we move forward and live this way? Well, not only were the people being lifted out of Jerusalem, out of Judea, into the Babylon, into the behind enemy lines, but also there was a few of them, the young bucks, that had an extra journey in front of them. It went like this. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and the other noble families. Then the king, who had been brought to Babylon as captives, select only the strong and healthy and good-looking young men, he said. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning and are gifted with knowledge and good judgment and are suited to serve in the royal palace. So God took a lot of these teenage boys, 15 to 18 years old probably, and took them. Not only were they now out of behind enemy lines, but they're now being lifted from their families and made to come into the kingdom to serve the king in that way. Daniel and a few other young bucks were part of that grouping of people that were now being forced to live in a way that was not going to be good. So what was Nebuchadnezzar wanting to do with these young bucks? Well, let's see. He says, train these young men, these brightest and the best, in the language and the literature of Babylon. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. Oh, the good food. And they were to be trained for how long? 3 years. And remember, that's going to come back handy a little bit here. 3 years, and then they would enter the royal service. So what was Nebuchadnezzar wanting to do with these brightest and the best youngsters? He wanted to reprogram them. He wanted to take the processing that they received by being good Jewish young boys, being raised to be people of God, and change that and help them to become more Babylonian in nature, even desire to change their names to make them sound more Babylonian than they would have sounded Jewish. So what are we to do with this? Because, you know, maybe you've heard this saying before. You can take, go ahead, John. You can take the man out of Wyoming, but you can never take the Wyoming out of the man. You know what that means? You know, someone who has the DNA of growing up in here in Wyoming and the mindset, and you put them in to Jersey, man, that's like behind enemy lines big time there. And so that's what these guys were forcing them to do, that they were wanting to change their mindset of how they think. So why should this matter to us Christians? What does this story mean for us here today as we look at Daniel, this young buck, and they're wanting to reprogram him and getting to think more like Babylonian? Well, for us Christians, we're in Babylon. We're behind enemy lines. I know some of you are saying, wait a second, Pastor, I'm just coming out of all these parties. My mind's a little fuzzy. Help me understand what you're talking about. Well, let's look at it this way. Over Christmas Eve, we had 45 people give their lives to Christ. Isn't that amazing? 45 new people walking with Christ. Yeah. Now, for those people they were living in this world not knowing Jesus, and now they know Jesus. And so Jesus is wanting to help them to better understand what living in the kingdom of God looks like. And so they surrendered their life to Jesus. He's now living in their hearts, and he's helping to transform them into something different. That's us as Christians. We live in the kingdom of God. It's an eternal kingdom of God, and most of that time period is going to be in heaven, whatever that will end up looking like when our physical bodies die. But eternally, we're in the kingdom of God, walking with God. It's not a geographical thing. It's a spiritual thing. Wherever I go, Jesus, the kingdom of God, walks with me. And when I'm with all of you, hanging out with you, life is a little bit easier because we all are on the kingdom of God mindset. But living here in Babylon or this world, there's Nebuchadnezzar or Satan who would love to reprogram me, who would love to walk with me and help change my mind to get me away from following the ways of God and help me to walk in the ways of the world. And Satan has a lot of people in the world who he's utilizing to try to reprogram us of walking away from God. Does that make sense? That's, we live in Babylon. We're behind enemy lines in this world where we live, and Satan is trying to reprogram us. It looks kind of like this image here. Now, this is hard for me to put up here because this guy in the Ravens, Baltimore Ravens outfit, is the good guy. He's the Christian. And all these stealing, this are the bad guys. Okay. If this is us, if we're the Christian and we're wearing our Jesus clothes and trying to walk with Christ, there's a lot of people who Satan is utilizing, trying to get us to reprogram, trying to get us to go a different way with our lives. You know, Peter, the great Simon Peter, who walked with Jesus, understood this about how hard it can be to walk in this world. And in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 2, he writes this. He says, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents," temporary because eternally we're going to be with Christ in heaven. So we're here in this world temporarily, and we are foreigners. In other words, we're behind enemy lines. This is Babylon, people. We are living in a world that is not the kingdom of God. So as temporary residents and foreigners, Peter encourages us to keep away from the worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Because Peter understood that here in this temporary world that we find ourselves in as foreigners, we have a lot of individuals that Satan is using to try to get us to walk away from God. So how do we deal with this? Because if we are Christians, we're trying to bring honor and glory to God in every aspect of our life. We're trying to walk with God, even though there are certain things that are waging against us. How do we live that life of bringing honor and glory to God? Well, how did Daniel do it? What can we learn from Daniel as he now is walking this journey of trying to be reprogrammed? Let's see. But Daniel was determined to not to defile himself by eating the food and the wine given to them by the king. This is where Daniel's going to go. And it is, because Daniel understood that eating the food that was from the king's table, where the king is going to have all the rich foods that were going to be available to eat, was not the right thing if he wanted to walk with God. Because as a good Jewish young man, he would have known what God had written into the Old Testament, where God shared a lot of guidelines and rules to help the people live a physically healthier life by eating healthy and living better. For instance, there were some things God would say that there were some meats that were clean and some that were unclean that you should stay away from. For instance, don't eat a crow, because crows eat roadkill. Why would you want to eat a crow? And so a crow is on the unclean list that God would have. And so things like that, that God knew, because he created all the animals, he knew what the better meat was and the not as good meat was. And so God would have the people eating healthier. And then also, being in Babylon, God also had given laws that you don't eat food or meats that were sacrificed in a worship service to other idols and other gods, because that would take your mind off of being focused on God. Daniel would have known all of this, and he would have wanted to walk with God. And so he wanted to stay away from the foods that the king was wanting him to eat, to gorge himself on those foods. So Daniel has a choice. Just like all of us, we have a choice when there are things that are warring against us, trying to get us to walk a journey that we don't want to walk. What does Daniel do? I mean, some of us, we've heard those things like the choices that we have, like fight or flight. Well, Daniel has some options. What are some of the options that he has? Some of them go, well, he could eat their food. He can just say, I know that's not where God would want me, but I'm gonna do it anyways. I'm not gonna ruffle any feathers. Or he could not eat anything. You know, just starve himself. I'm not gonna eat that food. I'm not gonna eat anything. Well, we wouldn't have the book of Daniel if he chose that. So what's another option? He could fight. He could get his sword out and start fighting. But let's remember, this is a group of people that were just conquered. And they were just knocked down. And there's a lot of soldiers in the protecting the king. So this is probably not going to go good for him either. So the good thing is, as a follower of God, he has another choice. And that is walk with God. Sometimes that's all we're called to do, is just know God's heart inside and out and find those ways. Even when things are warring against us, when Satan and others are trying to lead us astray, maybe simply know the better route and walk with God. For instance, there's a lot of us here who have Netflix. And let's say that the world is telling us that Netflix has this new, amazing, awesome show that we all should watch. And maybe they're right from the world's perspective. Maybe it has a great storyline to it. Maybe there's great effects and great cinematography. You know, it's just a great thing to watch from the world's point of view. But as we learn about it, we realize that there are some themes in this show that are ungodly or things that God would not want us to be filling our hearts with if we're trying to walk with him. So we have a choice. We have a bunch of choices. We could take our TVs and throw them out the window and just say, we're done with TV. That would make a lot of sense, right? Or, I mean, we could just cancel everything, cancel Netflix and our internet, and just cancel it all and just walk away from everything. Yeah, we could. Or we could just choose to watch a better, more godly show, right? Walk with God within the bounds of where God would have us walk so that we can be healthier in how we live. Daniel is faced with a choice. How will he move in this choice in figuring out to walk with God? Well, let's see. He asked the chief of staff for permission to not eat these unacceptable foods. Now, God, get this. God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel. He's already moving in Daniel's life. But he responded, but I'm afraid. It has nothing to do with you, Daniel. I'm afraid of my Lord, the king, who has ordered that you eat this food and wine. If you become pale and thin compared to the other youths your age, I'm afraid that the king will have me beheaded. So this guy's afraid, but even though he has affection for Daniel and respects him, well, now what does Daniel do? Well, Daniel spoke with the attendant, so the middle manager, the guy that was overseeing just Daniel and this small group of people. Daniel spoke with the attendant who had been appointed by the chief of staff to look after Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Please test us for 10 days. Now again, how long were they supposed to be in this preparation time? 3 years. So Daniel's not asking for a long period of time. He's asking for 10 days, a short period of time of testing. Please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water, Daniel said. And at the end of 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then make your decision in light of what you see. The attendant said, all right, it's 10 days. In this long scope of 3 years. And so the attendant knew that I'm going to be all right, because if the 10 days test is terrible and they look horrible, well, I have plenty of time to figure things out. And so they tested them for 10 days. Does Daniel know what's going to happen? No. Does he know if God's going to show up, if God's going to help him in these 10 days? Does Daniel know how things are going to play out? No, but what he does know, that in the past, when the people of God have been faithful in eating the way that God would want them to eat, God has helped them to be healthier. And so 10 days, it's a short period of time, but Daniel took the step and was willing to be willing to go where God would want him to go, not knowing, but hoping that God would help him to be healthier. So let's see what happens with Daniel. At the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the food and wine provided for the others. So the 10 days ended, they looked healthier, and the attendant said, "We're going to keep you going because you're looking good." Now you might say, "Well, how did that happen?" Well, they looked healthier because let's think of it this way. The other guys that were eating at the king's table. So in other words, the king's table was one where they had rich, good, lots of food and meats and heavy, fatty things. I mean, it was, well, you know what some of your parties were like over these last couple weeks with Christmas? You know some of those meals where you ate so much that you had to undo your belt a couple times because you just felt so heavy because of that? You know, all that fudge that I ate? You know what I'm talking about? Well, imagine doing that every day for those 10 days. That's what these other guys were doing. They were gorging themselves and drinking lots of wine, and they were just feeling heavy, where Daniel was feeling healthier because of the food that he was eating. And God stepped into this, and not only did God help him be healthier in that way, but God continued to shower him with blessings. It says this, God gave these four young men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom, and God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meanings of visions and dreams. Because Daniel was willing to walk in faith, trusting God with his life and walk in the ways of God, God continues to shower them with blessings and helping them to become greater people and living a better life. Now, this should be nothing surprising for us at New Life, because here at New Life, it's part of our DNA. You've heard Pastor Mike and I say it over and over again, that Jesus makes our lives better, and he makes us better at life. That's what Daniel has going on here. Because he is chasing after God's heart and knowing God's heart and then being willing to live to bring honor and glory to God, God is just showering him with blessings. For all of us here, if we're getting to know Jesus, now that's first. Because if you're not getting to know his heart, if you're just going through the motions of church, but you're not spending time getting to know the heart of Jesus and allowing his heart to become your heart, then you can't live that better life. But on the other hand, if you're doing a lot of getting to know Jesus, coming here on a Sunday morning, spending some time reading your Bible, but you're hearing what Jesus is saying, but you're not putting it into practice, you're also missing out on the better life. To find that blessed, abundant life, then we need to be willing to take those steps of walking with Jesus. What would it look like? What would it look like for you in 2022 if you were willing to say, "Jesus, I'm in. I'm willing to take these steps of saying, I'm going to get to know you more and more, and I'm going to live more and more to bring honor and glory to you." What would it look like in your marriage? What would it look like in your finances if you were willing to trust God and believe that everything that you have is actually God's? What would that look like for you to start trusting him? What would it look like with your work ethic as you go into work and you're trying to bring honor and glory to God with how you do your job? For each and every one of us, we have a choice. Get to know Jesus and follow Jesus. And if we do, Jesus will make us better at life. Doesn't stop with Daniel. It continues. When the training period ordered by the king was completed, so 3 years, the chief of staff brought all of the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. And the king talked with them, and no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the royal service. And whenever the king consulted them in any matter requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the other magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. Well, it's because they knew God's heart, because they were constantly chasing after God and seeking God's heart and living to bring honor and glory to God, then when the questions of life came up that Nebuchadnezzar wanted answered, Daniel and those other three young bucks, they knew the best because they knew the creator of the world's understanding of what wisdom is all about. This should be us, people. If we are Christians, then, and if we are getting to know Jesus and knowing the wisdom of God, then this should be part of all of our lives. For instance, in our workplaces, do you know that in our workplaces, a Christian should be the best employee in any business, as long as they know the trade? We should be the best employees in any business. Why? Because we know God, and we have God's DNA showing us the best way. For instance, our holiness and morality should be off the charts. You know, there should be no lying or deception or fraud from anyone who walks with Jesus. Also, our work ethic should be godly. In other words, we're showing up on time, we're not leaving early, and while we're there, we're doing our job as it should be done. Also, we should have great communication with our managers and those underneath us. We should be able to communicate well because God has taught us how to communicate. And then finally, other people should love working with us because we're not knocking people down, but instead we're encouraging them and lifting them up and helping them know that God loves them. We should be great employees because we walk with God. You know, as we think about this, Paul shares an amazing passage, the Apostle Paul. And I know for some of you, you like picking out, as we go into a new year, you like picking out a word of the year or maybe a certain verse or two of the year that you want to be foundational to guide your days. Well, I have two for you. Paul shares it in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I invite you to take these two verses and, you know, write them onto the mirror where you brush your teeth, or maybe put them on your phone, on the dashboard of your phone so you see it regularly on your wallpaper, or maybe on the dashboard of your truck, and just write them there to remind you. Let them be foundational for the year it's in front of you, because I believe that if we allow these to be our focus, our foundation for the year, wow, could God do something with them? And they go like this. Verse 1 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies, give your lives to God because of all that he has already done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." You know, the first verse, it's a heart thing. It's us saying, "God, I'm giving you my heart. And I want you, God, to take hold of my heart because I want everything that I do in life to be an act of worship before you." It's not just here on Sunday morning, but as we go into our day, into our workplaces, into our families, into the community, that we go in saying, "God, here's my heart. I'm going to bring honor and glory to you." Then how do we do that? How do we move forward? Verse 2, Paul says, "Don't copy or conform to the behavior and the customs of this world, of Babylon. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will," or how to live your life, "which is good and pleasing and perfect." So as we give our heart to God and saying, "God, my life is an act of worship before you," then we allow God's heart, his transformation of our heart, to change how we think, how we live, so that we might know God's will for our lives moving forward. That's what Daniel did. That's how Daniel lived his life. He knew God's heart, and he walked into this Babylon where people were trying to transform him into reprogramming him into something else, but instead he allowed his faith in God to lead him in how he lived. And instead of him being conformed to the ways of Babylon, he allowed the presence and the holiness of God to transform those around him. That's how we should be. We should be, well, let me leave you with an image that helps us better understand how we move into this year based on this passage. We all know what these are, right? A thermometer and a thermostat. You think about how these work. The thermometer changes is affected by the world around it, by the temperatures in the room. It goes up and down based on what's happening in the room around it. It's conformed to the ways of the world. Where the thermostat has an internal mechanism that transforms the world around it. This should not be us. We should not, Paul says, be conformed, be changed by the world around us, but instead, we should be like this. We should have this internal Holy Spirit of God that, because we have given our heart to God, that allows us to not be conformed to the ways of the world, but instead to be transformative of the world around us. This doesn't just change us, but it changes our family. It changes your workplace because you go into it allowing God to move you to live your life in that workplace to bring honor and glory to God. What could it look like for you as you see the witness of Daniel, a man who walks into this behind enemy lines world that he found himself in, but he was willing to live in faith of God and to live a faithful life of walking with God? What could that look like for you? As you go into this year in front of you, longing to allow the Holy Spirit of God take over your life and transform the different areas of your life that you know need to be transformed so that the world around you becomes transformed because of what God does with you. God, help. Because God, we're not there yet. Oh, we're all longing for it, God. We hear about this blessed life that you have in store for us. But God, wow, Satan is so good at his job at distracting us and reprogramming us and pulling us away. So God, help us. By the power of your Holy Spirit, here is our hearts, God. We long to give them to you again and for allowing you to transform us so that we then can be utilized by you to transform the world around us. God, we long for you to bless us more in 2022 than we've ever imagined before. God, here we are. Walk with us. Journey with us. Be faithful to us as you were with Daniel so that we might find you faithful. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen.